wash away my sin.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing can force it atone.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not a good that I have done.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church this morning. And the scripture reading for today is in Psalm 96, verses 1 and 8 and 9. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. fear before him all the earth. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we pray that you will bless us with your presence and with your guidance and with your encouragement and instructions from thy word. Lord, we have come together to praise you, to glorify your name, and to say thank you, Lord, for the great salvation you have given us. And now, Father, we pray that as we worship together here in the auditorium, there in the large audience of KKMC, and then in the large listening audience of the Tate Ministry, we pray, God, that together we may say, God, you are a great God because you save us. We were in sin. We were dead in our soul. And now you have given us life and love. And we can now say that we know you. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we do also have missionaries across the world. And we pray that you bless them as they minister the word of God to people. We have a crisis center here in Morgan Hill with a work to receive people, as the name says so, in crisis. But we have hope because our hope is in the Lord. Father, we have a brother Mendoza with his church working in Nicaragua. We have the ministry in Spain with the Knowles and the Perez. We have in Ukraine our brother working in a mighty way, Carol and her husband Louis, working in a mighty way to teach the people of Ukraine the living word of God. And Father, we have in California, in Lodi, Irene and her husband Ruben working in a marvelous way to teach the Spanish people in the area the living word of God. And so, Father, we are thankful for your kindness in allowing us to bring the gospel to people. Lord, we are grateful for this country called America. And we are thankful that you bless us in a very mighty way to be here. The country is free and we can preach the gospel. The country was founded on the gospel. And so, Father, we pray that we as a country, we know we're able not to lose what we got at the beginning, the power of the living God. And so I pray for every pastor in America today that they may bring the word of God to their people without fear. Bless our president, his wife, his daughter. Keep them in the palm of your hand. And for us, Father, speak to us in a very small voice, so that we may hear you and keep your word. Thank you for what you're going to do with us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. I'm glad you are here this morning. I just want to say, if this is your first time in this place, even though I do not recognize if somebody is the first time, but if you are the first time, there's two ways to do this. You cut this and you place these little information paper in the offering plate. And if you want to communicate with the pastor, you may do so. I just want to inform you the pastor is going to be out for 2 weeks. I'm going to be in Malaga, Spain, and in other areas of Spain. And on the 10th, I will be preaching on our brother Perez Church, our missionary. I received just an email. In the morning, they have an English service. And in the evening, they have a Spanish service. And so I will be just few blocks from his church building, he says. And so it will be a great experience to be with Missionary Perez. And I will try to contact a missionary Knotts, who is 1,000 miles from the place north. And we will see how we can make contacts and so on. So I'm just thrilled to take 2 weeks of rest. And just preaching one day is not too bad. It's in my own language. All right. And I want to let you know that in our Spanish class, Sorry, one microphone went to the floor. In Spanish class, we do have an Spanish class here in the morning. And if you are listening and you're interested to follow the Spanish class in your home, we have a nice book that I wrote on the book of Acts. And then it will be followed by another study on the book of James. And they are all printed. And then it will be followed by a video cassette. But this is in English. So I have the whole library of my A Visit with the Pastor here in the back, and Irene will log this in, and then you can borrow. This is, you're going to take, you just take it and look at it in your home. It's just a 14-minute program on family a conference that I have done in the station in Michigan, returned the tapes after broadcast it, and so they are here. And professional radio, once you use it once, it's gone. You're going to use it again. And so this is, you can see your pastor with the gray hair over there in those tapes years ago. All right. Now, we are so happy today because the number one is Fellowship Day, and I see a lot of cakes in the back, and that makes me happy. And secondly, because you are here, and we are here to praise the Lord. And the hymn that we're going to sing now is a wonderful hymn. For years and years in my first church, I have that hymn as the first song on the congregation. Number 70, please. Will you take the hymn book and open it, number 70? Holy, 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 will you stand as we sing together, number 70. Once again, our Heavenly Father, we are again grateful because you provide for us. And now we bring this offering because we love you. Bless the offering, O God, and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero. Just to take a few minutes of your time from this service to explain to you certain things we do here in church. We do have a morning worship service at 11, of which you are a part of. And then at 2:30, we have a second service. And then at 4 o'clock p.m., we have Bible classes, children program, choir rehearsal. And then again at 6 p.m. we have the evening worship service. And I'm concluding the book of Galatians in the evening service. Now today is the last Sunday of the month. And that means for Bethel Baptist Church that we do have fellowship. What that means? Means that every member of the church brings some food and we put it together here in the kitchen. And then we enjoy ourselves in participating in a nice meal together before the second service at 2:30. So one of those days that you want to really enjoy a visit to Bethel, please come on the last Sunday of the month and we will have this wonderful opportunity to enjoy not only the fellowship of your presence and the service, but we want you to be our guest in our meal. Of course, the last Sunday of the month, we do not have evening service. The last service is at 2:30. So once again, we love you. Thank you for listening. Here's our phone number, 778-2595. 778-2595. Let's join the service in progress.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now that you take your Bibles and to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 873. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, which we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, and thank thee most of all, Almighty God, for thy mercy upon our souls through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O blessed Lord God, as thy word reveals today, you have called us unto holiness, for thou art holy. Help us, O God, to live in that calling by the power of thy Spirit that thou hast put within us to glorify thy holy name on this earth. We praise you, O Lord God, and we ask that you will use your servant, our pastor Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims thy gospel unto the people today, that you will call more unto thy holiness, to cause us to live according to thy will, to glorify thy holy name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Around the grassy sea, there.
Thank you, Terry. And I would like two things to happen. I'm going to give you a brief announcement. If the door can be closed at the back so that I feel that I'm preaching in a studio. That's you got that in your mind, and you cannot do it unless you are enclosed. That's one. Number two, the service will roll over a little longer, not for the radio, but for you. As soon as I conclude the service, Brother Jack will be standing here and will conduct the business meeting. And so if you have to leave, that's fine, but the food follows. So I hope you stay, so we have a fellowship. The business meeting is not going to be too long. There's only two issues to talk about it. But happened in this month, they fall in this way. We usually have a business meeting in another day than fellowship. So I will be closing with a hymn, and our brother will follow. And then we will pray later on for the benediction on the food and on the service. All right, this morning our text is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. So you can turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. And I will be reading the text and give you the subject for this morning Bible study. Let us pray for God's guidance on this special subject that the scriptures bring to our attention. Our Heavenly Father, we pray earnestly with deep convictions of our heart that the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the scripture, may teach us again. May you speak to our heart. And then, Father, we pray for mercy, that you will give us a sensitive heart to your word. And in the quietness of our own individual life, each one may take the counsel to heart and ask you for the blessing to be sure that your counsel is good for our life and that we will be able to practice what you desire from us. Counting on your blessing, knowing that you have the power to help us, we thank you ahead, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 3, we find these words, "For this is the will of God." So this is not a subject from a man's point of view. It is not a subject from a church per se point of view. It's a subject directly from God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. I'd like to address the subject this morning, your sanctification. The subject of sanctification is one which many, I feel, dislike exceedingly. It is a subject of foremost importance for our souls. If the Bible is true, it is certain that unless we are sanctified, we shall not be saved. You know, there are three things which, according to the Bible, are absolutely necessary to the salvation from hell of every man and every woman in the Christendom. All three are met in every child of God. He need to be born again, he need to be justified, and he need to be sanctified. Put one hand in Thessalonians and go with your Bible to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, and in verse 30, and you will see that every child of God must experience these three things in their life. He must be born again, he must be justified, and he must be sanctified. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, and I'm just reading from a little bit fixed passage from my Greek Bible, here is what the Bible says. "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us Wisdom from God. That's being born again. Wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, which is the word justification, the only way the English Bible let the German Bible be there, righteousness, but it's justification. And then the Bible says sanctification and redemption. You see that? All these three things, they are in Christ. And when Christ is in you, you have been redeemed, you have been justified, and you have been sanctified. You see that? Christ in you make these possible. The person who lacks any one of these three things is not a true Christian in the sight of God. And if a person dies in that particular condition, will not be found in heaven and the glorified state on the last day. So that's why I want to preach you on sanctification from the point of view of salvation today. So I want to invite you this morning to examine the subject as the great living doctrine of the gospel. And maybe when we are through, we can say that it was a great benefit to study, at least like a flying over the scripture about the subject of sanctification. There are three things I will touch on. First, I want to speak to you about the nature of sanctification. What are we talking about? The nature of sanctification. Then I will talk to you about the visible marks of sanctification. How do I know? I'm not talking about you. Far from me to judge anybody. I have that gift of my heart. I thank God for that. I never judge or remember anything you have done that I know. I never, never, never remember. It's just fantastic. What a gift God has given me. That I can look to you clean every day and the mercies of God. There are very few pastors who have that gift. They all, my mother did not have that gift. She remembered what somebody did 37 years ago. And I like the girl from that family. And she said, you cannot go and date with that girl because 37 years ago, said mama, you know, poor mama. But I have that gift. I don't have to worry about it. So the visible marks. So I look to myself. What are the visible marks in Gabriel that I can say I'm just sanctified? And then for your knowledge and my knowledge and for you, Keith, who, and by the way, I want to have a brass trio today. Is that right? Trio in Pacific Hill. So you maybe want to come. There were three boys with a trumpet playing for me, and I want to preach on praising God, and I'm glad they are coming. The Guerreros Trio is coming in, and they're going to play for me in Pacific Hill. By the way, if you want to come, you're just welcome to come, and we're going to wake up the whole house tonight, this afternoon. The third thing I want to talk to you is the difference between justification and sanctification. And I want to make it simple, because I don't know how to make it complicated. So I want to make it simple so that you will know, once for all, what are we talking about when we say this person is justified? What are we talking about when we say this person is sanctified? All right? Let's make it very simple. All right. Point number one, the nature of sanctification. The question is this. What does the Bible mean when it speaks of sanctification? What does the Bible mean when it speaks of sanctification? Now, here it is. Listen carefully. Sanctification is that inward, a spiritual work which the Lord Jesus works in a man by the Holy Spirit. I repeat it. Sanctification is that inward, a spiritual work which the Lord Jesus works in a man or in a woman by the Holy Spirit. And this is what I'm trying to say. He, the Lord Jesus, not only washes him, us, from our sins with his blood, but he also separates us from the natural love of sin and the world, thus put in us a new principle, a new heart. Oh, the Bible is a lie then. And Ezekiel said that God gave us a new heart. That's what the Bible is talking about. Not only he washed away our sins, but he put a new desire in my life. He puts within me a new way to live. Please turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. You know the passage about the husband and the wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. Sanctification is the spiritual work of God in each one of us, whereby each one of us have experienced not only the washing away of our sins and I'm justified before the Lord, but now I have a new heart. And this new heart hates sin. And these new hearts want to do what God says. Now look at the metaphorical approach of the marriage couple that Paul used to teach sanctification. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, he's talking about husbands. He said, husband, love your wife. And every husband here will say, yes, sir, I love my wife. Now, here's the style we should love our wife. Look at the text. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why do we need to love our wife? That we, the husband, verse 26, might sanctify her and cleanse her. When a husband loves his wife, and by the way, the word sanctification means separation. You separate it. It's no, sanctification doesn't mean you have a little circle. What do you call that? A halo? It doesn't mean that. Now, some denominations, this guy is a saint, and they put a halo on the top. No one of us want to carry a halo made by man. We want to carry a halo in our heart made by God. And here's what happened. Paul said, you husbands, love your wife in such a love, in such a dedication, with such a compassion, with such a passion, with such a power that she's only yours. It's separated to you. See that? That's sanctification. You love it. Sometimes I think we have no appreciation. Oh, yes, we do. We do have appreciation of the love of God. We sometimes forgot that God came down and died on the cross of Calvary for you and me. The love of God is so passionate that he sent his son to die for you and me. And so that love, it's have a reason. And the reason is not only to save me from a day of judgment, but also to separate me into his kingdom. Not just theologically, but practically. Now, let me show you in verse 26 also in Ephesians, the instrument by which the Spirit of God achieved his work in sanctification. What is the instrument that God used for sanctification? Now, some denominations call themselves Christians. They teach penance. You do so many things, and you do so many things, and then you are sanctified. But look in verse 26. The Bible clearly says, the husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify her and cleanse it by washing of the water of what? The Word. The Word. The instrument that God uses to achieve his work in sanctification is the Word of God. Now look. In John 17, you can move your Bible to John 17 and verse 17. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying. And look what Jesus says in John 17, 17. He says, Holy Father, sanctify them, separate them. Holy Father, sanctify them in thy truth. And Jesus says, thy word is truth. And so the nature of sanctification is simply this. is the inward spiritual work which the Lord Jesus Christ works in many by the Holy Spirit. And so here is the process. As you read the Word of God methodically, not just to study and teach a Sunday school lesson or preach here in class, but as you read the Word of God daily, 10 minutes of reading daily, what the Word of God does in a believer is putting inside the heart of the believer, inside that new heart, the power of God to see what God does require of him. And so then, little by little, you see yourself departing from the things you did before because of the Word of God. Not because of the rules and regulations of a local church. Not so. The work of sanctification is absolutely, exclusively the work of God. And is done by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. So when you read the Word of God, like we read in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and in verse 3, and the Word of God said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. If you are a person who are married but is still doing intimate relationship with other people, and you read that and you're a believer, immediately you stop. Because the new heart tells you it's wrong. Not all the time happened. I, as a pastor, am not allowed to tell you my personal experience with people, but I tell you not all the time happened. And could be that you fight within your heart. That's good. If you find yourself fighting within your heart, that's good. That means the Holy Spirit is working with you. If you're not fighting for an even desire, I just completed a class, a series of classes. How many classes were there, Moira? Six? I guess it's six classes on eating. Were six classes, Terry? Six classes. 12 classes. Look at that. I was just excited about the preaching this lady brought in. And you're going to hear something about that at the end of the sermon. But what she taught is not how to eat. Not at all. Oh, just on. She said, cut half and eat half and so on. That's nothing. What she taught is that you, if you're a Christian, you have control of your life. Not only in food, in everything. And you cannot blame God for anything you do except to yourself. And disobedience. See, that's sanctification. The nature of sanctification, the work of God in that new heart of ours. But remember, it's not going to come from a dream. It's not going to come just as you wake up in the morning and you are sanctified. It's going to come by reading and reading and reading the Word of God. And I'm going to give you news to you. It's never going to end. You know when sanctification ends? It's when you are in the presence of the living God. Holy and unblemished by the work of Christ. But we have a work to do here on this earth. Now, how do you show the visible marks of sanctification? What are they? What are the visible marks of sanctification? I'm going to bring you three exhibits. Exhibit number one, our deeds. Go to 1 John chapter 3 in verse 18. The visible marks of sanctification are these, what we do. 1 John chapter 3 verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in language or in expressive language to one another, but in deed and in truth. You see that? You cannot say, oh, I cannot do what the Bible says. You cannot say that. I cannot say to you, well, I'm sorry. I know what the Bible says, but I cannot do it. I cannot say that. Exhibit number one to me of sanctification is our deeds, what we do. in our daily life. What you guys do in the school, that's exhibit if you're saved or not. What we husbands do in relation to our wife, how we respond to them and how we treat them, that shows our sanctification. How wives respond to the husband, that shows sanctification. Our deeds, it shows sanctification. Our respect for our boss, our honor in our work. All of these shows your sanctification. And some of you who are real Christians and who try to live a holy life, get in trouble and work because you try to live a holy life. Let the trouble come, my brother. God's going to help you to get out of the trouble. But you need to live a holy life. And our deed is exhibit number one. Exhibit number two, the world. Let's go to John 17. Verse 18 and 19. John 17, verse 18 and 19. Exhibit number two is the world in which we live. You know, the idea of some Christians is this. I will sell all my properties here in the city. This is not a city. Morton Hill is a farming area. But I'm going to sell everything here. And I go to a place that nobody is there. And I raise my children there. And so they're going to be holy. No, so say Jesus. John chapter 17, please. And look in verse 18. Jesus again is praying. And look what he says. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. In other words, he separates himself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You see what Jesus is saying? He said, I send my disciples and I send my people into the world in which we live, in the city that you are living, as I am in the world. And remember the book of Hebrews said that Jesus said, who accused me of any sin? And he was in the world. He eat with Pharisees and businessmen, and he eat with the poor, and he eat with the prostitutes, and he mixed his life with everybody, but he was holy. There's nothing wrong to live in San Francisco. There's nothing wrong to live in New York City. There's nothing wrong to live in Rome or in Madrid. When Hong Kong, there's nothing wrong with that. Because you, my brother, have a new heart, and God says, now exhibit the new heart in that city where you are. Exhibit your new heart as you talk to your boss. Exhibit the new heart as you raise your children. It doesn't matter. The location is not the problem. The problem is the heart. That's the problem. And so exhibit number two is the world in which we live. Now exhibit number three, the habitual respect to God's law. Romans 7 verse 22, the habitual respects to God's law. I assume you are familiar with God's law. One of the blessings to me when I listen to other preacher is as he is preaching, the scriptures are bumping in my head. And I know where they are before he announced it. And then I know that I have been in the Bible. Somebody told me, hey, you have been in the Bible. I hear you in the Exodus. What do you expect? I'm the pastor of the church. What do you want me to be? Here is Romans 7 verse 22. For in Romans 7 verse 22, for in my inner being, I delight in what? In God's law. Do you see that? That's exhibit number three. If you are a Christian, and we Christians get busy, don't we? Especially if you have children. Some of you have 3, 4, 5, and some of you 6. I pray for you. I mean, that is something. I tell you, you mamas and papas are wonderful. There's nothing wrong to have 6 children, by the way. My father came from a family of 17. So I know what is to have all kinds of cousins and things like that. I know how to fight them and all kinds of things. But I tell you something. We must find time to read the scripture. If we going to really delight in the word of God, we must know it. We must find time to read the scripture. Exhibit number three is, I need to know what the scripture says so I can do it. In business, the Bible talks about business in a remarkable way. Talks about, amazing, talks about a simple guy. Read the book of Nehemiah in business. The guy was not even a businessman before he came to Jerusalem. And when he ends Jerusalem, he's the governor of the city. Now, how did he get in that position? Read what he did. In practice. David was extremely good in government. He did not tolerate evil. He did not compromise with the enemy. A great example for a president of a nation. I mean, the Bible, the laws of God, do we respect it or we compromise the laws of God? What do we do with the laws of God? You parents have a difficult time because you have to say no to your children. It's not that difficult. It is difficult. You go on and go on and finally you say, that's it, no. Children get uneasy even for food. You say, no, you don't eat that. And boy, they go crazy. And you know what they do? They play mama against papa. I know because I did it when I was young. I played my mother against my father. Ends up and I get hit by both of them. But I tell you something. Do not work with me. Because my father and mother will go to a room, have a conference, come back. She spanked me and then my father spanked me. I knew I cannot do that again. But I did it over and over and over again. Watch out, folks, because children do that and cause problems. But you respect the law of God. You tell your children, son or daughter, I cannot do this. You know why? Because God says so. And do it in love and in compassion. But be firm about what you said. Don't move. All right? Visible marks of sanctification. My deeds, what I do, the world in which I live, and my respect for God's law. Finally, the difference between justification and sanctification. Now, what's the distinction between justification and sanctification? These are all theological words. Let's take justification. Justification is the act of God about us. God is a judge. He looks to me and he said, you are justified. You are not guilty. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Look at what the scripture says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because I believe in the Messiah, I believe in the messenger of God, then God justified me. I'm no longer guilty before God. God justified me in Christ Jesus. That's an act of God. I have done nothing. I have nothing to do in justification. I come in before God and I say, God, please have mercy on me on Jesus Christ. And when I believe in my heart in Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, who rose again to give me life, when I mention to God that I'm a miserable sinner, but in Jesus, oh God, I trust, then you say, you're justified. Don't worry about it. Go home. You're not guilty. Go home. That's the act entirely of God. Now, sanctification is also the act of God, but it's no external. It's no judicial act. It's an internal act. It's the act of God, the work of God within us. We know the verse, Philippians 1, verse 6, for example. You go to Philippians 1, and in verse 6, and you see that God is mentioning there, working in us. Being confident, is the scripture, of these, Philippians 1, 6. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God began a good work in me. He justified me. Now we will carry on that work of justification in sanctification until the day where God will call me to his presence and he will say to his angels, look what I have done with Gabriel. And the angel will say, wow, He's just like Jesus. Is this God of ours extraordinary? Extraordinary. In our Spanish class today, Freddy was teaching to us about the remarkable passage of Acts 2, where hundreds of people were listening in their own language, and the apostles were speaking in Galilean, which is a dialect of the Hebrew language. Not even Hebrew, a dialect. And everybody was listening. And everyone in the class said, wow, we were in awe of what God is able to do. And listen, I am in awe that I'm preaching to you when I, in my younger day, have nothing to do with God. I read the Bible just for engineering purposes and just because my grandmother forced me to do so for 12 years, not knowing that God was working in my heart and preparing me to love the book that I can never let go. Justification, the act of God where he declares me no guilty. Sanctification, the act of God where he works in me until I am just like Jesus. Romans 8:29, he predestined me, he elected me just to be like Jesus. Let me read it for you because this is very, very important before I close. Romans chapter 8 in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. In other words, I am to be the one who really am to imitate and I'm to follow. So therefore, there is a difference between justification and sanctification. And you cannot separate the one from the other. You cannot separate the one from the other. You have to glue both together. The one who is justified is also sanctified. Remember that we started the service in that way when we read 1 Corinthians 30? You cannot say, I'm justified, I'm a Christian, but I cannot live the Christian life. This cannot be. This is not so. And if that's the case in your own heart, please, you're not saved. Now, what practical reflection of the whole matter raised in our minds? If I have to put the whole sermon in a tiny sentence, I will say this. We cannot give God lip service. This I learned on the last lesson on the Way Down program here in church. The lady flashed on the screen these words. We cannot give God lip service. That touched my heart. We were never intended to be slaves. God wants you to know you are free, and he wants you to act like you are free. You see that? God doesn't want you to act as a slave to sin. God wants you to act as free people. Free from what? From sin. I believe in communist Russia, when those 70 years of terrible dynasty overthrow the people and really work on the people of Russia. You know something, that when Family Radio went to Russia with tracts to pass on, they found Christians everywhere. And where were they? So much that Mr. Campion came back. He went for vacation, for a week vacation. And see, he carried, Mr. Scott Smith carried some tracts. He loved to give tracts. And they were gone, he said to me. Gabriel, I opened there in Moscow. I was standing, and they were gone in 3 minutes. So I said, I had to come back. I had to come back. See, no government of this world can oppress a new heart. No government of this world can make you sin, because you have a new heart. You're sanctified. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Oh, thank God that we are not just saved, we are also sanctified. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson of 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Sanctification is your work. the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And I want to confess to you, God, that some days on the week are so intense that I know I have to read the Bible for myself, but I pass it by. Rather than getting up half hour early and read it. Sorry, God. I wonder if my brothers and sisters happen the same. Sometimes we are so busy, so worried that we pass by. We know that we have to read your word, but we pass it by. Sorry, God, forgave us. Give us grace and mercy that even when we go on vacation, we can open the scripture and read it. Oh, God, your Bible will separate us unto yourself. And I will become a better husband. And I will become a better father and grandfather and a better pastor. And a better teacher, if I read it, oh God, thank you, and that beautiful book, the Bible, is the secret of sanctification. Thank you for the new heart you have given us. Help us to remember that we are not defeated, but we are victorious people in a mighty and in the mighty hands of a tremendous God. Oh, thank you, God, for that. Help us to overcome ourselves, so that we can be the one who overcome in the world. No wonder in the book of Revelation, you repeat 45 times the word, the one who overcome. It's because we should have time for church on Sunday. We should have time for Wednesday night. We should have time for everything, God, if we let your Bible speak to our heart. Lord, I know, because I'm a man too, I know how difficult it is sometimes. Have mercy on us and grant unto us the beauty and the power of a holy life. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think I'd like to close with that. Is that 300 and something, the book, the song that I put on? It's 388, one stanza, and then our brother Cassandra will come right here to the pulpit. And we will proceed with a business meeting prior to our... Will you stand, please, for a moment, and then be seated after this. If you have to leave, please do so, but we'll continue in the service.